Good evening, everyone.
I wanted to know that this is a dream come true for me. I am very fond of the Theosophical Society because it has promoted my spiritual development. And I have wanted to talk and present at the Theosophical Society for years. And so today, when I was emailing Paula, my heart was pounding. The day is here when I finally present and work and collaborate with the institution that I'm so fond of. And I am doubly happy because I am going to be sharing with you a model that has transformed my life, my relationships. Just part of it, not the whole thing. The whole thing is on Saturday. Today we're going to focus on transforming anger. But I love sharing this model because it's great. It's brought greater harmony to my marriage and also to my personal and professional relationships. So I hope you like it as much as I do. So to begin, I'd like to invite you to, hi Linda, to form pairs. And I'd like you to talk to the person next to you and tell him or her what you would like to get out of tonight's session. Tell them your name. And then at 2 minutes, you're going to hear the gong and then switch. Just to promote connection and start getting to know each other and have a little bit of a community tonight. Okay, so go ahead. Please switch. So tonight we're not going to study the whole model that we will do on Saturday. We will start with the first part of the model. Okay. So I'd like to tell you about a practice that we have in nonviolent communication circles that we call remembering. And remembering is about connecting with our compassionate nature. One of the assumptions in NVC, compassionate communication is also a name for nonviolent communication, so I will use those two terms interchangeably. And so one of the assumptions in NVC is that we're all compassionate, that that is our true nature. And there are many reasons why we detour and deviate from our compassionate nature, but we can always go back to it. And so during remembering, we connect and reconnect with love and compassion within. So for that purpose, I'm going to start with a brief meditation, and then I'll play a song. And I invite you to let the song wash over you. It's about oneness. This song is about oneness. And the reason I chose it is because tonight we're going to see how anger affects us and others, in the sense because we are all one. So I invite you to close your eyes, make yourself very comfortable, set everything aside. And assume a comfortable posture, perhaps a meditative posture if you wish. And take 3 deep cleansing breaths. And every time you have a thought, disengage from it by saying gently and softly in your mind the word peace. And let the thought dissolve on its own. Send your attention to the feet. Relax the feet. Relax the legs. The belly. The buttocks. Relax the entire back. Relax the chest. Release the shoulders, the arms, the hands. Relax the neck, the face, surrender your body to the chair. And with every breath, with every exhalation, relax more and more deeply. Send your attention to the chest, to the inner inside of you, the center of the chest. And find a space within where peace abides. Connect with us that space. And rest there. And let the song speak to you.
Dust, the earth is are blossoming and fading. Every color, every sound, every place is holy ground. Oh, every living thing, can you hear it laugh? Can you hear it sing? By breath, by blood, by body, by spirit, we are all one. By breath, by blood, by body, by spirit, we are all one. The fire in my heart, my soul, like the moon, like the Holy One. By breath, by blood, by body, by spirit, we are all one. By breath, by blood, by body, by spirit, we are all one.
So nonviolent communication was developed by Dr. Marshall Rosenberg. NVC is more than a model, a communication model. It's actually a value system. So the purpose of nonviolent communication is to create the quality of connection in which everyone's needs matter and are met through compassionate giving. When engaging in NVC dialogue, we don't want anybody to do as we would like them to do out of guilt, shame, fear, desire for reward, or buying love. We want them to do as we would like them to do only if they can do so joyfully and willingly. This is very challenging for parents, in my experience. Because they ask me, do you mean I'm going to tell my child, do you want to brush your teeth? Do you want to go to bed? Yes, that's what I mean. And I don't say that if they say no, you give up or give in. Instead, we engage in a dialogue where we connect at the heart and everyone's needs can be met peacefully, both ours and the other person's. So that's the description of nonviolent communication in a nutshell. The modeling entails language and thought and a commitment to a certain use of power, power with as opposed to power over. The language has three dimensions. It helps us internally because it helps us transform anger and guilt and shame. There are processes specific to transforming anger, guilt and shame, and even fear and depression. Tonight we're just going to study anger. And then it helps us in terms of our relationships with others. And it also helps this model informs our nonviolent social change in the tradition of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. So the model has two dimensions to it. One is the actual process and the consciousness. I want you to know that nonviolent communication is the consciousness. And the model is a vehicle to help us manifest the consciousness. So what is the consciousness? Is one in which we relate to ourselves and to others with empathy. We express ourselves with honesty without criticism or blame. And we are committed to cherishing the needs of others as much as our own. So as you can see, it's a very spiritual model. It helps us manifest caring for all, equal regard for all. Tonight, we're just going to study one aspect of the model, which is self-empathy. But I want to tell you what the purpose of nonviolent communication is to connect at the heart, to connect with the heart of the other person, because we say that in that space, solutions arise that can meet everyone's needs. We access infinite creativity. And in that place, in my experience, we find solutions that we hadn't previously conceived. So that's what we want. We don't want for people, it's not a model to so that people do what we would like them to do. It's a model so that, that helps us connect at the heart. So I'm going to read you a quote that captures the essence of nonviolent communication and what we're after when we engage in NVC dialogue. Namaste. I honor the place in you where the entire universe resides, a place of light, of love, of truth, of peace, of wisdom. I honor the place in you where, when you are in that place, and I am in that place, there is only one of us. Gandhi. So I invite you to open your handouts to page 4. And you see there the nonviolent communication model. And the model has 3 modes. One is self-empathy, the other one is honesty, and the other one is empathy. So when we engage in NVC dialogue, typically we begin with self-empathy, which is what we're going to do tonight. And the purpose of self-empathy is to help us release and vent judging and blaming, discover our needs, our feelings, and then when we come out and engage with another, we can do so expressing ourselves from the heart. We had already transformed judging and blaming that is present, and then we can attempt to connect with the other's heart. So that's what we're gonna do tonight. So now I would like for you, but before we do that, I'm gonna define needs. When you hear the word needs, what comes to mind? When you hear, what is some connotations that the word needs may have for you?
Something that you can't live without.
Something you can live without, yes. What else?
It's a request.
A request, okay. Mm-hmm.
Something that someone else needs doing for them.
Something that someone else...
Needs being done for them.
Okay. Someone else needs being done for them. Mm-hmm. Yes, Paula.
I need something vital for survival.
Ah, something vital for survival. Okay.
An individual component?
An individual component?
Like an individual element is not necessarily shared.
Okay, uh-huh. Yes?
What the vulnerability my need that there's a vulnerability in that
A vulnerability, yes. So sometimes the word needs has negative connotations, as if deficit and deficiency. In nonviolent communication, need is the name that we give the energy within that compels us to seek fulfillment and to thrive. Need is a doorway to spirit. We say the needs are the voice of spirit communicating through us or letting us know what we require to have fulfillment and to thrive. So needs is the divine within. The essence of needs is divine energy within. And so what are some examples of needs? What do you need in order to thrive? I need freedom.
Love.
What else?
Oxygen.
Oh, yes, there.
Understanding.
Understanding.
Respect.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Food.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Balance.
Uh-huh. Meaning, work,
occupation,
and the reason we need work is because we want to have meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Right.
Yes, meaning and purpose. Uh-huh.
Equality,
connection, cooperation, peace, spiritual communion,
spiritual growing.
Uh-huh. Spiritual oneness. Do you see how beautiful needs are? Mm-hmm. Aren't they beautiful? So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to transform anger into empathy for ourselves and eventually for the other. It's spiritual alchemy what we're doing tonight. And so I'd like to invite you to open your handout on page 7. And work with the person next to you and answer those questions together. All right. Let's come back to the large circle if we could. So, what is the cause of anger? Who would like to say?
We had expectation.
Expectation?
Frustration and limitation.
Well, isn't it true, though, that I could have expectations and, I see your point. But isn't it true that I could have frustration and not necessarily anger? Somebody else? Luz Marie, did you have?
I guess I'm a little... I had a difficult time with that because I'm not an angry person.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to understand why loved ones get angry and trying to understand how to not put myself in their shoes, but to understand why they're so angry.
Yes.
So I would say disappointment, fear, and hurt.
Uh-huh.
But like you just said, you can be frustrated and yet not allow that anger to come out.
Right.
I mean, I have been able to do that all my life.
Yeah.
Understand why it brings such turmoil and anger in a person.
Yes. Right. So that's what we're here to discover. Yeah. I hear your puzzlement as to how come people couldn't. Oh, why do they react in such a way? It's kind of foreign to you, perhaps even. Oh, Okay. So in nonviolent communication, we say that the cause of anger is thought. And let me explain that. So pretend that I have a lunch date with each of you. And I say, She's not here for lunch, and I had such a bad morning. I had a crisis this morning, and I so need space. How am I going to feel that you didn't hear, that you didn't show for lunch.
I need space. I had a very rough morning and now I need space. How am I going to feel that you didn't come to our lunch meeting, our lunch date? What's your guess?
Disappointed.
Perhaps disappointed. And what else? Oh, I need some space. Now I can get the space that I was longing for.
Relieved.
Now, let's say that I have a longing for connection and companionship, and you don't come for lunch, you didn't show for lunch. How am I gonna be? How am I likely to feel? Lonely.
Sad.
Hurt, disappointed, sad. Now, imagine that I say to myself, she blew me off. She is so inconsiderate. She could have at least called me to tell me that she wasn't coming for lunch. How am I going to feel?
Angry.
You see? The cause of anger lies within ourselves. It doesn't have to do with what the other person did. It has to do with our needs, unmet needs. Something is wrong in the environment, you said, Liz. It's an unmet need and my interpretation of it. If I am in my head judging and feeling, judging and blaming, I am going to be angry. So it's important to know that the cause of anger lies within. It's not related to what the other person did. The other person have maybe the stimulus, but not the cause of our anger. Because I just showed you that the exact same action evoked three different emotions in me, depending on my needs and my interpretation of that exact same action. Does that make sense? Any questions about that?
Now, what would happen if, say, maybe it's one of those, like a Pavlov's dog thing, you know, maybe in the past that you had the same thing happen again and again, but it elicited a different response. What then? Do you understand what I mean? Instead of anger,
so,
you don't feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
You have a different response, and you know, and I guess, you know, instead of feeling angry, you feel sad. You know, am I making sense?
So when you're, let me see if I'm getting to your question. Is it that?
I guess you can train yourself to be any which way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Are you saying that anger is more like a conditioned response than anything else?
Just like what we're doing now, we can say, no, I choose not to, I still will love you.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like a parent, you know, I unconditionally will love you. Over and over, you can do that wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I still will love you.
Yes, yes. And you know, I really love what you're saying, because this is really it. That when we embody nonviolent communication, we're actually embodying unconditional love. So yes, there's a place for anger, because judgment and blaming arises before we know it. But we transform it before we engage with the other. So yes, it's a choice to say, to engage with the people and to love them unconditionally. And we have a model for that. So yeah, it's...
Right, that's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to, you know, if you grow up with your family and you have your history with them,
mm-hmm.
change that.
Yeah.
And transform that
rage or that anger.
How to change that within ourselves, okay. Or, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Yes, sure, sure. So what is the cause of violence? Anybody? Any guess? Dave?
I would say it's anger made, anger in motion, let's put it that way.
Anger in motion, uh-huh, yes.
In physical.
Mm-hmm. In physical motion, uh-huh. Yes.
Anger.
Uh-huh. And it's still our thoughts. The cause of violence still lies within our thoughts. We're telling ourselves that the person, that our needs are not met, and it's the other person's fault. It's blaming. So for example, pretend for the sake of this discussion that you're sharing space with somebody. And the person with you, whom you share space, likes everything put away and set, you know, put in its place, and you don't. This person is what? What do we call this person? Neat.
Orderly.
But you don't like that. You just hate that, put everything put away. So we call this person maybe obsessive compulsive, neat freak. Now, pretend it's the other way around. You want everything put away, and the person with whom you share space doesn't like that. They'd like to, you know, leave the clothes, the shoes around. Doesn't matter. So what do we call them now? Slop. Slop. Now, pretend you are in a relationship with somebody, and you like hugs and kisses, and they don't. What are they?
Cold.
Cold. Now, let's say you don't like hugs and kisses, and they do. What do they become?
Needy.
Needy. Clingy. So you see, whether our need for order or for ease, our need for affection or for space is not met in the particular way we want, we blame the other person. And when we blame the other person that our needs are not met in the specific way we want, what feeling arises within us?
Anger.
And when we are angry, what do we want to do to the other?
Choke them.
Choke them. Exactly, exactly. And you know, and that's when we engage in violence. And you know what? Not only do we engage in violence, but we enjoy it because we tell ourselves that they
deserve it.
So how many moms have said to me, Myra, I didn't want to hit my child, but I spoke to him so many times, so I hit him. Quote, underlying message, he deserved it. So when we think, the word deserve is very dangerous. So it's a concept to be very mindful of. Because when we think that way, violence becomes enjoyable. So awareness about it. So when we are angry, what are the repercussions on ourselves? We lose what? Inner,
control.
We lose control. We can lose control. We lose inner peace. What are the repercussions on our relationships? When we act with anger, with violence, what are the repercussions in relationships? It begets more violence. Yes, it escalates. And what happens with the connection with others?
It weakens.
It breaks, right? And what are the repercussions in society? Let me give you an example. One day, I spoke with somebody and over the phone, and when I hung up, I was very angry. And my husband and I went out to breakfast. And I didn't like something the waitress did. And I spoke to her with anger. And my husband pointed it out. She says, I don't like the tone of voice that you're using to address her. And I noticed that. And I thought, she's just an innocent bystander. She has nothing to do with the cause of my anger. And then I thought, maybe she's going to come home, and if people treat her like I treated her today, she's going to take it out on her child. And the child is going to take it out on their younger sister. So anger has ripple effects, very large ripple effects. Anger itself, no. Acting out of anger. And so that's wonderful to have a way to transform it before we, you know, before we engage in it. So here's the thing. We always say society out there. We talk about society, but we are society. We are consciousness. What we do affects consciousness, you know, like the big consciousness with universal consciousness. It affects society. So I think it's very useful, and NVC teaches us that we are interconnected, so that we know that the what we do has effects on others beyond our awareness or beyond our understanding. Like the waitress, you know, I don't know how my words affected her, but I imagine they did, my tone of voice. Any questions or comments?
Just a comment. I mean, violence is a visceral thing as well. It is a thing you feel.
Yes.
It's not just a thought thing.
It's not just a
thought. It's not just a head thing.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. It is, it has physical dimensions, physical effects in our body. Well, I have heard that people who suffer from chronic anger are more prone to high blood pressure, for example. So yes, it has great effects on our body. So what are we gonna do today? Let me sum up what we're gonna, the nonviolent communication view of anger. Anger tells us three things. One is that a need of ours is not being met. A need of ours. I already defined needs. So maybe it's your need for respect, for safety, for consideration. Number two, we are judging and blaming the other. Number three, we're about to say or do something that greatly reduces the likelihood that our needs will be met. Okay. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we are going to transform anger. So turn to page 8, if you would, of your guide. And here is the process by which we transform anger into self-empathy and self-understanding. So the first thing we do when we're angry is stop. Stop and then breathe, breathe, breathe. And take time out. Typically, anger, if we respond at the point of the stimulus, then our reaction is one. But if we allow 5 minutes to pass, our reaction is different. And if we allow 10 minutes to pass, our reaction is still different, isn't it? So take time out is what we say. Take time out. And then you can engage in this process. And I'm going to give you an example, because sometimes people tell me, Myra, but what if you don't have time to engage in this process? I'd say, then don't say anything. I'm not trying to tell you that this is what I do all the time, because my husband would tell you differently. I'm just trying like the rest of us. And so what are we going to do? We're going to learn to transform anger. I'm going to give you two examples. One is that I was in a group. I was doing a workshop at a psychiatric hospital. And it was a group of about 28, 30 people, and they were all mandated to be there. They didn't want to be there. Oh. And so I was talking and talking and talking to them, and I couldn't engage them for the life of me. And then I would say, John, so what is that great need of yours? Integrity. He would keep doodling. Oh my God, in the rest of it. And so after trying and trying and trying, I started to get angry, and I noticed it in my tone of voice. And I thought, oh, okay, let's take a break. So we took a break, I went to the bathroom, I started to vent anger. Oh, these people, they're wasting my time, they're wasting their time, and they don't want to be here, da da da. And then after I vented, I started to discover, well, what is my need? What is my need? And then I said, well, my need is connection. My need is, and then I went through various needs. My need is contribution. I got to the bottom. I don't want to spend a whole day here talking to people who don't want to be here. And I'm not going to meet my need for contribution. And as soon as I discovered that, I started tearing up. And then I was relieved, and then I went out, and then I told the people exactly what I had done. I said, you know, first I acknowledged their needs. I said, you have a need for choice. You don't want to be here, and you would rather be doing something else, and you'd rather be using your time more effectively and catching up with your documentation. Is that true? Yes, yes. And I said, and I'm feeling very sad because I have a need for contribution, and I hope that I can share with you this model that is so precious to me. And that's when the workshop began. Finally, finally, I was able to connect with them with empathy, vulnerability, but first I had to do some self-connection. Luckily, I had the process to rely on, otherwise it would have been a wasted day for all of us all involved. All right, so here's what we're going to do. First, number one, we're going to allow ourselves to express judging and blaming. We're going to do so in the privacy of our own minds. Then I'm going to read through some needs, and I invite you to discover what need of yours is not met in this situation. I'm going to invite you to bring to mind a situation about which you feel anger, a relationship, a person. And then I'm going to invite you to mourn and then to make a request accessing intuition. And we're going to see what happens. The content of this process is private. I'm not going to ask you to share it with anyone. I will invite you to share the process and see what happened. Okay? So make yourselves very comfortable again. Set everything aside. Assume a very comfortable posture. And close your eyes if you're willing. Now bring to mind a person towards whom you feel anger. And pretend for the sake of this exercise that the person is in front of you and you're going to let him or her know how you feel. If you cannot imagine somebody towards whom you feel anger, then bring up somebody towards whom you feel resentment.
And now, pretend that the person is in front of you and you're going to say anything and everything. You can be express blaming and judgment without censoring them. This is not something I would ever, ever recommend you do in person, in real life. This is only for the purpose of this exercise. Invent. Continue to release anger. Continue to vent without censoring your thoughts. I am going to name some needs, and I invite you to discover what needs of yours were not met or are not met in this situation. Is it your need for connection? For acceptance? Affection, appreciation, is it your need for caring? Cooperation. Closeness. Is it your need for companionship? Consideration? Dependability? Is it your need for empathy? For help? For inclusion? Is it your need for love? Mutuality? Quality. Is it your need for respect? For physical safety? For emotional safety? For support?
for understanding. Trust. Is it your need to matter? To know that you matter in this relationship? For honesty? Authenticity? Autonomy, respect for your autonomy. Freedom. Space. Or is it another need that I have not mentioned? Allow yourself to grieve, to get in touch with the sorrow that your need is not met or your needs are not met in this relationship. Or were not met in this instance. Connect with the sadness. Grieve. And in this moment, you may want to continue to grieve later on. And in this moment, I invite you to ask your heart, loving heart, what can I do to meet my need or my needs in this relationship? And allow the answer to come from intuition. Wait silently for it. Slowly begin to come back to the room. Notice the air on your skin. Listen to the sounds around you. When you hear the ring of the gong, come back to the room. One, two, three,
did so, we're going to process. How was it for you?
Who would like to share how the process was for you? We don't need to hear the content of your process, just the process itself.
Did you notice any change from the beginning to the end, or no? How was it?
I thought I was angry at that person, but when I went through the process, I found out that I was angry that I wasn't more respectful of myself. And I was more angry at me and my reaction than I was at that other person.
Okay. So there is a process, Meredith, to transform also anger towards self. Because underlying that, there's probably, I don't know if that's true for you, but is there any guilt and shame around that?
No. Shame, but more of that there were a lot of other people that were involved, and my reaction to all those people was just an expression of how I didn't respect my own boundaries.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So that's how I was able to turn it around.
Uh-huh. And towards the, when you discovered your need, what happened? Or did you mourn? Or how did it go towards the end?
It was more of a relief, because I felt like really this situation can be rectified mm-hmm. by subtle changes in my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And not allowing myself to waste energy
mm-hmm.
Where it really doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm telling you the whole situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it did. Thank you. Yeah. So you have more self-awareness is what I'm hearing, in a sense of how you can better meet your needs, live in harmony with your values in the future.
Right, my need wasn't the original
What you thought originally.
Uh-huh. I found out what it really was. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Liz, please. I guess, like she said, without getting into detail,
yes.
You really helped me when you said resentment, because I don't correlate with the anger aspect. Mm-hmm. And when you said that, it allowed me to connect with the fact that I was disappointed mm-hmm. in a situation where I was being asked, why can't I get angry?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is such a, like you mentioned before, such a surreal kind of bizarre kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And this other individual always gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can't change that individual,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a positive, from a negative to a positive, but that the individual would like me to change from a positive to a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped me realize that the reason that that relationship is no more is because I was not able to change that person and they couldn't change me,
mm-hmm.
which I'm grateful, because I would never ever want to be an angry
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
But does that make sense, how someone would like to change you?
Mm-hmm.
It's abuse. You cannot change other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was presented as like I wasn't being genuine, because how could I not get angry? How could I be so positive all the time and not be angry?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand how, like you said.
It's a principle of our free will. We cannot change other people. We need to change, you know, ourselves.
Especially if it's from a positive to a negative.
Of course.
It just doesn't resonate.
Yeah.
But this process helped me understand and confirm the fact that I was true, you know, to myself,
mm-hmm.
and that energy that I was, it wasn't deserved. How
mm-hmm.
can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
That person was draining me of my positive
mm-hmm.
energy, wanting me to be more negative like hurt, and that's just unacceptable in my book. I mean, it saddens me, but it helped me connect with the fact that I did what I had to do for my life.
So it was validating for you, this process. Yeah, that you want to be true to yourself, and this is how you experience life and how you respond to life's challenges.
Get it. I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
If I'm supposed to be angry,
yeah,
it just doesn't feel like it belongs within me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm asking because I really want to know.
You want to know? So is your question?
If someone hurts you and you don't react angry,
I'll tell you a story.
Does that go somewhere that
I don't care anymore?
Not that I don't care, but to me, communication is not about being angry.
Right.
I can look someone in the eyes and say, "You really hurt me, and that is unacceptable." I don't have to say, you know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But does that get the point across? Maybe.
Yeah. Right. No, I think that, so I'm going to tell you a story. I have a mentor who told me once that she was raped. And when she was telling me the story, she said, I said to her, "Oh, you must have been furious." And she said to me, "To tell you the truth, I wasn't. I was thinking, what could have happened to this man? He's probably no more than 22 years old. What could have happened that he's meeting his needs this way?" And then in his rush to get out of her apartment, he grabbed her coat instead of his. So she pressed, you know, she went and did a police report, and he was quickly apprehended because he was wearing the evidence. Then he was put on trial. And then throughout the proceedings, and if that's the word, my mentor defended this guy. He said, "No, he needs rehabilitation. He's had enough abuse. Please do not treat him like that. What he needs is rehabilitation." She was not angry. She's not a person who... So her focus was on his feelings and needs and her own feelings and needs. So she was not angry about what happened. So that's my answer to your question. I don't think it's necessary to be angry. I mean, if we are, I am angry all the time. Not all the time, but I am. I have a short fuse gene. And so this is very handy for me. But if you don't, then you are more effective, I believe, in relationships and have inner peace. So I...
But I lost that relationship, so I...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was lack of acceptance. I'm curious about the process, and I'd like to ask more people, how was the process for you, if you were willing to share?
I started out with the judging and the blaming, and going through the steps, I found that my need was authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that that is a need that you can really have met if someone else is not being authentic, because in the asking of it, raises, I imagine, the other person's defenses where you're not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
My perception of what authenticity means, the person, you know, most likely wouldn't agree because of whatever reason. So I found that in the end, I had to accept it and let it go and just live my life according to my own values.
And Liz, let me ask you, how was the process for you? You discovered authenticity, and then when you discovered authenticity, what happened?
Oh, I felt that when you said the word, it resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt an energy pull towards that word, the connotation of the word. I didn't really feel like I needed to grieve over it. Maybe, you know, if I was able to spend more time with it and think about the scenario, then I could really uncover the true. I mean, this is like a childhood issue. So I really feel like I need to do some more digging into it. But just to know that, you know, what the need was important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Relating it to my present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's helpful to know our needs because then, oh, I'm not crazy. No wonder I feel the way I feel about this relationship. Look at the needs that are not met, you know? Anybody else? Last person who's willing to say, how was the process for you? Did you experience any movement, any change, any... as you went through the process. So I guess you didn't. And I'd like to know, what do you think stopped? What could have...
I just discovered I'm not angry anymore. I tried to, you know, release, but there's nothing to release.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I'm going to hear my intuition and do what I have to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was able to go through the process and identify certain couple of needs. Or the most important need, as Liz said, I didn't have the chance to mourn. Because I think it's like in the moment when you feel that, it's much easier to connect with that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you probably need more time too.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, when you ask about, have an answer that comes more from intuition, I got this feeling that meeting the other person's needs is going to help meet my needs.
Mm. Mm. That was what came to you, that, that supporting that person is actually going to be a contribution to you, or in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to meet your own need for contribution, and somehow it's going to meet your needs, supporting that person. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Any questions about the process? So you have it here. You have it in your handout, so you can do it by yourself or with the help of a friend on page 9, working in pairs. Any questions?
I think I just got a little aha, because I was thinking that I had to request from the other person, but I think when I look at this page, what can I do at this time to meet my needs? Sometimes, or at least in this situation, what I need to do is move away.
To protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that feels healing.
Mm.
So I think that was just reading that sentence made me realize that I don't have to request from the other person, and that makes it work for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes.
Sometimes needs are at odds with each other. In my particular situation, I needed this woman to do her job so that I could do mine. And it seemed that her need was to get paid to not do her job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those needs are at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that for me was to be able to realize that I can't control that situation, and the other people involved were somehow adding to this anxiety that I was blaming all these other people. And so that is where I realized where my role was in all of that,
mm-hmm.
which is you can't control uncontrollables. All you can do is control your energy and your reaction to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Meredith, in NBC, let me make a distinction. We say that the needs are never in conflict. What is in conflict is the strategies. So needs are universal. So for example, your need was for cooperation, from what I'm hearing. You wanted the other person
That was a strategy. That wasn't a need. That strategy is for the other person to do the work so that you could do your work. So your need was perhaps cooperation, collaboration. Is that true? Okay. And the other person, on the other hand, had a different need. Her need was perhaps she wasn't doing her work. Perhaps her need was for ease or for choice, you know, for autonomy. She was going to decide when she would do her job or her work. Does that resonate? That potentially, we don't know because she's not here. We can't ask her. But is that possible? Does that sound like a possibility or no?
Yeah, it does sound like
plausible.
She would
choose ease as a need. So ease is a universal human need, and cooperation and collaboration is also a human need. And we say that when we express our needs, when we meet at the heart, then we can find solutions that work for everyone. So, because we have common ground, when I hear the word cooperation, I know that I need cooperation too, and everybody does. And so anyway, this is just to say, Meredith, that strategies are in conflict, but needs are not. But we're going to talk about it Saturday. I know you're going to be there. Okay, very good. So in ending, I'd like to ask if you could tell me one thing you learned that you think is going to be helpful to you in the future, for yourself, for your relationships. This is food for my soul. This is what gives me the energy to do this work. Anybody who's willing to share something you learned.
I think the damaging effects of anger, in terms of it actually being retroactive in a way.
Yeah.
And I think what you said about thought, that anger comes from thought, that if that's true, then if we change our thoughts, we can have a better handle on anger.
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Instead of immediately going to the judging and blaming, attempting, like you said, to stop and taking some time to identify what your need is that's not being met in this situation.
Yeah.
And then by getting rid of all the layers of stuff that you don't need, communicating that is more likely to not raise the other person's defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not trying to be right, you're just trying to communicate what you feel.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably to give us hope that maybe a situation that it can get better.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a lot to do with it getting better.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to end with a quote. When you understand the roots of anger in yourself and in the other, your mind will enjoy true peace, joy, and lightness. You become the doctor who heals himself and heals the other. When you feel hurt but do not hurt the other, you are truly victorious. Your practice and your victory benefit both of you. When you practice deep looking and master yourself, you dwell in peace, freedom, and safety. Thich Nhat Hanh. Thank you for coming.